Shane Jones was listening into the back end of that conversation. Of course, infallible himself too, so he's with us for a kōrero about politics. Thanks for your time, Shane. Tēnā koe.
Man of imperfection, sadly.
That's two of us then, Shane. That's two of us, mate. Well, everyone goes out to bat for their mob. Of course, we understand that, but you know, you can promise the world, can't you? And as we get closer to the election, perhaps the promises will become even bolder. You've been around politics a long time. It's almost the expectation, Shane. What are you making of, well, even a saying no new taxes? I asked him, well, yeah, but for how long? Because we've seen political U-turns left, right and centre over the years. Is that sustainable, no new taxes? And what do you read into that sort of slogan, Shane Jones?
Well, they're definitely campaigning on that, but the problem is that major items of expenditure, not the least of which is the health system, they rise inexorably, even if you're just standing still, by dint of the ageing population, immigration. Obviously, our birth rate has chilled out. So I'm not denying the passion with which they're sloganeering, but it's akin to Chippy saying we won't be putting up road user charges or the fuel tax over the next 3 years. Well, you better start rationing where you're going to cut on the budget in relation to maintaining roads with councils and on the highway. So, yeah, now reality has a habit of biting very hard, Imara.
Yeah, indeed. And political U-turns are almost the norm. So, for instance, we're going to buy 120 supermarkets. I spoke with Marami yesterday. Buy 120 supermarkets, create a more even playing field for grocery delivery here in New Zealand with KiwiMart. Now, it's a neat idea. Is it anywhere near achievable, do you think, Shane?
Well, I haven't delved into the innards of their initiative. And no one's going to doubt that the cost of food is continually rising. But also we've got to deal with the fact that the milk, the cheese, the meat and related products that come out of New Zealand are highly sought after in the rest of the world. And we've got this situation. We pay the same price as the exporters are capable of getting overseas. So therein lies part of the problem. But now there's definitely a case to tame the supermarkets. We have a different initiative. We have a different approach. But Emara, I can tell you it all comes back to having a limited amount of pūtea, and then you have to dedicate it to where you think either you have a mandate or we generate the net benefit for the people that comprise your community. On the question of taxes, like I was at Tūranga Waiwai, fortunately I left early before Tuku ranted on. Then I had something at Tauranga Whakatane, and I was at a Portiki, Gisborne, and some, sort of had some disruptiveness in one of my meetings there. Anyway, via Wairoa, no one's really talking about taxes to me. What they're talking about is economic security, jobs, growth, development. And, you know, often challenging me, are you doing it within guardrails? But we've tried to run a campaign that's about growth, about forward-leaning economic momentum, as opposed to endlessly arguing as to how you cut the pie up. We need to grow the pie.
Okay. I was going to touch on Tuku's kōrero, but you already have, really, describing it as rants. But critics say New Zealand First is a party of blokes past their use-by date rather than a movement reflecting the diversity and aspirations of modern New Zealand. And a growing argument is that younger voters feel overlooked by the major parties and are looking for leaders who speak to their economic future. How's New Zealand First often viewed as a party of older voters, making itself relevant to under-30s, or is that not a goal, not part of the strategy?
No, every time we develop a growth initiative and facilitate or actually practically deliver on investment, who's getting those jobs? it's not just men and women my age, born in 1959. It's young people. So we fit the mold of the wokish younger scribblers on Instagram. But the people that are getting the mahi, the people that have built the water dams, the people that are working on restoring the infrastructure at Ratna, they're young people. That's where the proof of the pudding is. Now, what you're possibly saying is, but Shane, do they draw a connection between your advocacy for development or the young people coming back from Aussie to work in the mines? The big gold mining company has now closed out its financial race exercise. Those are all young men and women who are working there. So, yeah, I just feel that you could be looking at it through an urban lens. And I'm off to some gig on Wednesday here at Waitangi Ship, that's tomorrow. And the focus is on Taiao. And I'm going to say that you'd be very careful. We've created this cadre of professionally trained bilingual bureaucrats who see as their mission to save the Taiao. That is too narrow. What we should be doing is boosting the economy so we've got the surplus so we can dedicate the pūtea to deal with the effects of our lifestyle choices upon the environment. That'll be my message.
Yeah, tēnā koe, you did raise the point of the cost of a block of cheese or even milk in our own land that produces heaps of both. And we're paying the same price as those who are accessing our products overseas. But there has been, across time, quite a boost, and you're part of it as well, supporting the growers, the farmers, the pastoralists, if you will, and any environmental degradation that is caused by their practices. And you'd have to surely agree that that does occur from time to time, is something that we as a nation and as residents bear the burden of. So we still have to pay the same price as everyone else for our milk and cheese. Those guys just get the product. We get the environmental consequences. Is that fair?
Well, that's essentially the argument that Tuku and his team were rolling out at Turanga Waiwai.
Well, I'm pleased if that's the case, I'm pleased you're still in the room and haven't left the room. But anyway, what would you say to it?
I'm agreeing that it's a legitimate perspective. Just look at Lake Taupō. Farmers have been constricted in terms of how much nutrient they can put on their whenua because it was running into the lake. And I think, in fairness to Tuku, and what they're saying is that they wanted a new planning instrument, Plan 1, to restrict farming and vegetable growing activity because of the externalities, the impacts, into eventually the river catchment. And all of these things come down to a trade-off. And I guess what Waikato was saying is that, well, it's all very well you trumpeting economic growth and jobs, but Shane, the negative environmental impact is felt by the local community or the host environment, and not enough of the responsibility is being borne by the people who profit from those farming activities. And New Zealand First just took a far more pragmatic view. At this point in time, we are not terminating or constraining economic activity. The saviours who want to secure the future of the river have got a long-term journey, and we need to do it in such a way that we don't snuff out economic surplus. But hey, you know, it's an ebb and flow debate. Some people feel we were wrong. Some people congratulate us for having that pragmatic approach. The National Party seemed to be dodging so they don't get pinged, and the ACT Party have moved on to Paul Henry's escapades with shits and giggles.
That's what it would seem. I don't know how this bloke ended up in the newspapers. Hey, you've seen a lot of cycles of politics, Shane Jones. What are you making of the 2026 iteration here? Because, you know, we're seeing polls suggesting that this outfit's going to be the kingmakers. New Zealand First at some time, then Top, then the Te Pāti Māori believe they'll be the same. We've had a three-way coalition, and now everyone seems to be jockeying for their own position as they get into the finishing straight. Pretty intriguing, but you've been around a long time. What are you making of politics 2026, 2 months out of an election?
Well, it's got the resonances of 02, where Bill English, over a 6 to 8 week period, went from about 30-odd percent down to 20%. So one of the two big parties is going to implode, and it may or may not be Labor. Both are struggling to get over 30%, and that's extraordinary. I mean, Helen Clark won, I think, in 05 by getting 41%, and yet she got ambushed by John Campbell over allegations of dodgy GMO policy. The Māori Party, I haven't really focused too much on the Māori Party vote and the fact that they were talking about splitting their votes. It's nothing new. I mean, New Zealand First has been a beneficiary of that for ages. That's just MMP in action. Part of the challenge is getting your message out there. So social media has changed their motto since I first came in with Helen Clark. But we prefer to still host our old-style community public meetings, and they come with a bit of a risk. You do get sort of 100 individuals trying to come and turn into their meeting and use it as a soapbox to rant at the public and rant at the politician, but that comes with the territory.
Well, I know it's going to be a really interesting election and outcome. What we are encouraging people to do is to vote. How they vote, obviously, is their call. But as a proud Māori broadcast platform, we say use this democratic right that we all possess. Shane Jones with us Tuesday mornings. Appreciate your time each time too, Shane. Thanks so much for joining us again today.
Tēnā koe.
Tēnā koe, mate. Have a good week.